Andy, this is the first time I've been here with you. I understand you've been here a number of times. Did you ever speak in meeting? I'm not calling on you now. That'd be nice to hear from you, maybe this evening for a few minutes. Would you? When we sang Father, Abba Father, I think of their letters. Don't you often write Father in those letters? Father, I read not too long ago, Father is the Christian name for God. Find it very seldom in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus really introduces it, how he loved the Father and prayed to the Father, used that term, speaking of God. He communed with his Father, and now he has opened that family connection to all who would come to him and believe in him. We are sons and daughters and brothers and sisters by believing in Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I'm happy that one of my fathers is here. That's Brother John Munsinger. In a way, you know, he's taught over the years and set an example for us back at home in the ministry. He's been our Sunday school superintendent in Ridgewood for 50 years. And I just was graduating from the primary department to come to the older group downstairs. It is a church where you meet if you're over 9 years old. Well, I think the year that you turn 9 years old. And it was about that time that Brother John took over the Sunday school. So we've been together a long time. And I do look up to Brother John as one who has taught me from the Word of God so faithfully, and I hope I've learned something. I believe I've at least been taught an awful lot. So I thank God for him, and I know that he often speaks here on Sunday mornings. Now, this is only my second Sunday morning of the season. I've been home most Sundays, and the one Sunday that I was here, he was home kindly helping to fill in back there in my absence. But now we're here together, and I'd just like to ask him to say a few words to us, please.
I told Brother Eddie earlier when he approached me about coming up here and taking my place in the front, that I did not come prepared to speak or to say anything. But in some interesting way, the Lord put a thought in my heart this morning that it spoke to me. It's a verse that I guess I ought to share. Maybe it was the Lord's way of giving me something to say. You know, the first requirement of a speaker is to have something to say. And I trust that this will speak to your hearts as well as it spoke to mine. But it's the it's the admonition from the 12th chapter of Romans. When we speak of father figures, I often think of Brother Eddie's father, Brother Edwin, and what a father figure he was, and how faithful he was to present the Word of God. And this particular chapter, this entire chapter, was one that he had asked us to memorize when I was in my teen years in Sunday school. And Brother Edwin presented this challenge to us to memorize this entire chapter, which I did at that time, and it's been a blessing to me. But this morning, as I said, when I woke, I was reminded by this third verse in particular, where the apostle admonishes us and says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you." So here's a word not just for the men or the women or the boys or the girls or the leaders or those who come under leadership. This is a word for every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people were in the church at Rome when the apostle said, "To every one of you," he was addressing every single individual in that congregation. And this is what he says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." I had to think of how easy it is to begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We have success in one area, and suddenly we think that we're geniuses in every area. And the Bible clearly teaches us that the body of Christ is made up of individuals with variety of capabilities, a variety of talents, variety of things that they can contribute to the body. And each and every individual brings something to that. I think we witness that here at camp, the many different skills that are needed to run an operation like this, and how for 66 years God has been faithful in providing the various talents and skills. And my brother just gave a few examples of things that different people contribute, and that's all wonderful and that's all very good. But success in one area does not make us the authorities in every area. And to find that place that God has given us and that particular skill or that particular role, whatever it might be. Some people's roles are very quiet. You rarely hear them speak. But they will excel in kindness and cheerfulness and in some of the attributes that are not as demonstrative or as visible or as recognizable by the general public. But to find that place and to accept it and to realize that while I may have a capability in one area, that I ought to be sure that I keep this thought in mind, to not think of myself more highly than I ought to think, but to think of yourself, as Paul puts it, with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And then the apostle goes on, and I won't read the entire chapter, but he goes on to list some of these things that there are many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many are one body. And essentially what I've already spoken about, we have different gifts, he goes on to say. Some person's gift might be prophesying. Another's gift might be in serving. Another's in teaching or in encouraging. That's an interesting gift, isn't it, to be an encourager? I remember there was a missionary couple in Tortola, the wife of which was a nodder, you know what I mean? when you speak publicly and before a crowd, you like to think that they are interested in what you're saying. And sometimes their facial expressions will convey either interest or disinterest. And I love this person, and she didn't come to our Sunday school that often because they lived in Tortola, but whenever they came into the Sunday school and I would be speaking, she would be nodding her head like everything I was saying was important. I liked her. She was one of my favorites because there was that encouragement that she provided. Contributing to the needs of others, let them do it generously. This leadership, let them govern diligently. And here, in showing mercy, do you ever think that this is a particular gift? We're all called to be merciful. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God is what the prophet tells us is the chief duty of man. But to find our place and to do that effectively and to do that with all of our hearts, to serve God with all of our hearts, is the important thing. A few minutes ago when Brother Eddie was encouraging us to find the different parts in that song, you know, he was talking a foreign language as far as I was concerned. When he said, you know, if those of you who are sopranos, sing the soprano, and those who are baritones or basses or tenors or whatever the other areas of the musical scale are. To me, that is a totally foreign language. When I sing all four parts at once. I manage it quite effectively for my own pleasure. I don't know how well it goes over for others who have to stand near me or listen to me sing. My mother tried very valiantly, God bless her, to make a musician out of me. Sat me down for piano lessons with a piano teacher. Put a violin under my chin and sent me off to violin lessons. Neither one of them took very well. I blame it on the teacher. We had a teacher, Mrs. Rutger, who would come to the house and had about three dozen bracelets on her arms, and she would rattle those things and she would be playing and trying to get us to play. And then I would hear her go off into the kitchen to get her payment for the lesson, and I would hear her tell my mother, "You wasted your money. You just wasted your money." Oh, and I'm sitting there in the living room, knowing what's coming next after Mrs. Rutger left the house. You know, to tell a hard-working German parents that you wasted your money. You know, my father earned his living by the sweat of his brow, literally. He was a baker. Worked long hours, worked hard. My mother supplemented our income by cleaning other people's houses. So to tell her that she wasted her money on music lessons for me was kind of a death knell, if you will. And it just didn't take. I was more interested in sports. I'd be practicing the piano and I'd hear that Frankie just scored a touchdown, so I'd have to run to the window to see if I could catch the last minutes of Frankie's touchdown, and then I'd have to watch in case it happened again. We didn't have instant replay, so we just had to watch to see if it happened again. And by the time my older brother and my sister and I had wasted my mother's money, she decided to not give my brother any music lessons at all. And that little rascal went down in the basement and found the piano and began playing it without any lessons at all. So, you know, figure it out. Go figure, as they say. But he has that talent, which he uses to serve the Lord. And I'm glad for that. And all of us have some gift and some talent and some ability. And the important thing is to find that, to find our place of service, and be comfortable in that, but not allow it to go to our heads so that we think that we can run everything or be the authority on everything. Not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Those were the words that for some reason the Lord put on my heart when I awoke this morning. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, as God has given unto each of us the measure of faith. God bless you.
In the camp songbooks, there's a prayer, number 73. Let's stand and sing 73.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell
seated. I like to sing the Amen. You know, we often ignore that in our church when we see it at the end of a song, but I recall singing this at the beginning of 1 year in worship. The ministers had come together at home, and my Uncle Gordon said, "That song warrants an Amen." As we came to the end, we did it again, the last verse, and now that song deserves the Amen. So we, since then, I've always tried to put it on. Be it so, Lord. Let your beauty rest upon us. Let your kindness, your mercy fill our hearts. Let, Christ's favorite virtues are meekness and lowliness of heart. And he wants us to have them. He wants us to possess them.